These days, a message written in all capital letters is considered shouting. So most people who give and receive messages in writing try to stay away from all capital letters, because a long string of shouting is considered not only unnecessary, but also rude. But did you know that the most ancient written texts of sacred scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, they were written in all capital letters? Maybe, just maybe, that's because it is necessary. Maybe it is because these words are so sure and certain that you do well to pay attention to them as to a lamp shining in a dark place. On this most holy night, as you're given to contemplate in some detail the innocent sufferings and death of your Lord Jesus Christ, it is not necessary to shout. To be sure, there is shouting. We have no king but Caesar. Away with him. Crucify him. But the import of it all, as written for you and spoken to you this night, is to listen, to watch, to pay attention, because the words are not just words, but it is the word of the Lord. The same word whereby the heavens and the earth were created, along with you. The same word whereby you are brought into the kingdom of heaven, because your Father in heaven sought you out from the foundation of the world to make you his own. The written texts of sacred scripture have been published more widely since ancient times. Johannes Gutenberg invented the printing press. Dr. Luther was given to use it to enormous effect, teaching nations of people all that pertains to the saving truth of the gospel. These days, the capital letters once inscribed by scribes have been replaced or placed amidst mostly small letters. Copies of the written text of the sacred scriptures have become so commonplace that most people pay more attention to a roll of paper towels than they do to the word of the Lord. Your Father in heaven enjoins you not to be like that. Yet despite so many small letters, there are a few portions of sacred scripture so important and so profound that even the most recent copies of sacred scripture revert to all capital letters. One such portion has been placed into your hearing this night. Unless you were following the text with the eyeballs that were given to you by the grace of God from your birth, you probably missed it. It is the set of words inscribed by the stylus of Pontius Pilate onto a sign: Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. These capital letters were inscribed not just in Hebrew and in Greek, but also in Latin. Whether wittingly or unwittingly, Pontius Pilate undertook to make clear who this man hanging on the cross is, bloodied and bleeding, beaten to a pulp, stretched out, crowned with thorns, and mostly silent. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. Let us take some time to consider this sign and these words, because your Father in heaven would have you know that when he deals with you, a sign is more than just a sign. Words are more than just words. And this is because his word endures forever. Only days ago, there was another sign: Lazarus raised from the dead. No one had ever been raised from the dead like that after so many days in the grave, wrapped up so tight that he couldn't possibly be alive. Just days before that, there was another sign. A man born blind received his sight when Jesus applied clay made of spittle to the blind man's eyes. Since the beginning of time, it had never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. Come, See a man who told me all the things that I have done, said the Samaritan woman at the well when Jesus calmly told her all the details of her life. So intimate, she thought she was the only one who knew. Every man serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. That's what the head waiter said to the bridegroom when Jesus did the beginning of his signs. And this shall be a sign unto you, said the angel of the Lord to the lowly shepherds doing their jobs. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, what kind of sign is that? What kind of sign is that? It is a sign that God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, honors and upholds in the highest esteem. It is the flesh and blood of the one who will redeem you and all people and save you from your sin. But on this night, the babe's swaddling clothes have long ago been outgrown and handed down to the next generation or two. This grown man of 33 years or so, he had a seamless tunic, but he's allowed himself to be stripped of it by force and to be given as spoil. And so he's given not only to the pain of beatings, nails, and thorns, but also into public shame. And this shall be a sign unto you. Above his head is this sign, written in all capital letters, Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. You have been taught that he endured all this for your sake, and this is most certainly true. Pilate meant that sign to be a mockery of the Jews. They were the ones who pushed him into violating his conscience and going against the advice of his wife, who messaged him in an old and ancient way to say, have nothing to do with that righteous man. The Jews were also known to stir up riots so bad that Caesar was really beginning to wonder whether Pilate was the right man for the job. And so this sign that he wrote and placed above the cross was Pilate's way of saying, here you go, Jews. Here's your king. Shall I crucify your king? He said. But the chief priests also had been taught well in the art of semantics, the meaning of words. Words mean things. Mind you, it was their business, wasn't it, to deal with the word of the Lord. And it bothered them how Pilate had worded this. He put it in what linguists call the indicative mood, stating it as a fact. They wanted the optative mood, as linguists call it. So the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. This is the same guy who only moments ago asked the question, what is truth? So he sticks it to his detractors who've become the very same people who have a lack of conviction, the same lack of conviction that your own flesh and mine have. What I have written, says Pilate. True enough. And what Caiaphas prophesied, he prophesied, that it was expedient for one man to die on behalf of the people. But to put an end to all the conniving and guessing and gamesmanship that inheres in you and me from the time you were conceived and born in sin, there is this. What God has written, he has written. What God has accomplished, he has accomplished. No power in heaven or on earth will keep his only begotten Son from being properly conceived as true man, born of a virgin. No power in heaven and earth will keep the Holy Son of God from being properly guided in the way of truth, properly executed as a common criminal, and properly labeled as Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Yeah. For this is how he becomes your rock and shield, your righteousness before God, your salvation, your Savior. Jesus, the Nazarene. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, said Jesus, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. That's what he said to Nathan. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots. His roots. That's what Nazarene means. A branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and this he does for you. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with his gospel. And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. This is Jesus, the Nazarene. Born in Bethlehem, yes. Raised in Nazareth. With death in hot pursuit all the way. And this is your king. Not just any king, but the King of Kings. That is who is hanging there on the cross. He is called precisely who and what he is on this cross of shame and death. Likewise, dear ones, in the sight of God who partake of his benefits from one day to the next, he is called precisely who and what he is at the sacrament of the altar, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But when he instituted his holy supper for you, he did not say, "Let's just say this is my body. Let's just say this is my blood." No. As it has been from eternity, God, the Father of your Lord Jesus Christ, calls things as they are. And it is no different when it comes to the sacrament of the altar, so that you may know that the Lord is God, that he is willing, able, and does deliver you the very righteousness obtained by Christ Jesus through his innocent sufferings and death, in order to vindicate you, even as you have been brought into this world for a short time to receive every good gift and to love and serve your neighbor where you are. What more can your Father in heaven do for you than call things what they are? He cannot do otherwise. And this night he calls to mind for you who this Jesus is. Marked with a sign written by Pontius Pilate, yes. Also marked and mocked and put to death as the atoning sacrifice for your sin. For he has rooted himself into your very being, taking upon himself your flesh and blood, that he might bleed and die for you. No power or authority on heaven or on earth can change this. Not even those who abuse their authority or those who abuse language, thinking themselves to thwart the everlasting counsels of God, or appearing to have the upper hand with all their pomp and glory. Look, the Lord God is placing you on this most holy night into the innocent sufferings and death of your Lord Jesus Christ. It is best for you now to listen, to watch, and to pray. You have a high priest who is able to sympathize with your weaknesses. You have a high priest who is leading you out of this valley of tears unto himself. Put away your notions of what is cool. Put away your notions of what is valuable. Put away your own notions of what is to be given honor and attention. Fix your eyes and ears on Jesus, the crucified and risen one, who calls you out of darkness, who brings you into the light of his tender mercies, who will keep you steadfast even as he perfects you with his discipline. As for shouts, soon there will be shouts, shouts of joy. There will also be songs of joy. For now, however, it is best with fear and trembling to observe and to receive all the Lord God has accomplished for you through the innocent sufferings and death of his only begotten Son, even as the hour has come for the Son of Man to be lifted up as a banner, that you and all nations and tongues of people may be drawn to him and receive from him the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life that are found alone in his name.